God in the flesh. What did God in the flesh do? He came born as a baby. And he didn't come in some four-star hotel. He came five-star, whatever. I stay in four-star. But anyways, five-star, 44-star, I don't know. But he shows up in a stable.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God. And I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing an encouraging message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. Today's message is part of a series that is entitled The Cross. The cross Jesus endured was for the atonement of our sins. As we follow Jesus, as believers, we also endure a cross. A cross that says less of me and more of him. My hope for you today is that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the word of God shared in this message.
We want God to be an agent to work for us, to accomplish our will. And you say, Pastor, that's not me. Yes, it is. Absolutely it is. Focus in on our motive sometimes. I don't know how many times I've caught myself trying to bully the Holy Spirit, trying to put his arm behind his back, get him to do my will. If we'll be honest and transparent, we'll see it happen a lot. That's not how God empowers us. He empowers us when we say this: we deny, we refuse, we disenfranchise ourselves from the matter. If we're going to have the mind of Christ, that's what it's going to take. To anyone desires to come after him, to let him deny himself, take up his cross, and to follow me. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2, if you can. Turn back there to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who, being in form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was fully God, and he was fully man. And think about this. On the evening he was betrayed, and he's out in the garden, and he's praying. What did he pray? What did he pray? Not my will, but your will be done, amen? The reason I say that is, look, go back to verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Some Christians in their mind think that Jesus showed up 2,000 years ago in a manger. He always was and he always will be. Listen, he didn't just show up in that manger. He has always been. He's always been. How are you following me? You say, well, wait a second. I thought Jesus was born in the manger and that was, you know. No, he has always been and he will always be. Amen. He is a co-equal member of the Godhead. He just didn't show up in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He has always been and he will always be. The reason I mention that is because he is God in the flesh. God in the flesh. What did God in the flesh do? He came born as a baby. And he didn't come in some four-star hotel. He came five-star, whatever. I stay in four-star. But anyways, five-star, 44-star, I don't know. But he shows up in a stable. I mean, the only people that really knew about it was some shepherds. Not a glorious audience. Gives a little bit of announcement. Really, I mean, we think about the simplicity of it, it's great. But this is God in the flesh. I mean, if I'm God, I'm letting everybody know what's going on. See, that's why I'm not God. And we would all be in trouble. Listen, equality with God, with the Father, he did not consider that. He said, you know what? He left heaven, all glory, the pavilions of glory. He steps out into humanity as a man. He has all the emotions that we have. He has all the feelings that we have. He has an intellect. You know what? He dealt with the things that we dealt with. Can you imagine that? The Creator stepped into the creation. How humbling is that? Do we have this mind of humility that is willing to submit to another's authority? All things were created through him and for him. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You know what? If we were God, and if we were part of the Trinity, okay, I don't know, there's probably not a good illustration of this. I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyways. Insert yourself into Jesus' life, into who he is, his being. And why don't you go to earth? Why does it have to be me? Send the Holy Spirit. He's going to deal with them anyways. That kind of conversation would take place if we're involved in it. When Jesus was in his flesh, that night that he prayed in the garden, you could see the conflict of the flesh and the spirit. I know I'm here. I know what I'm called. I know what I'm supposed to do. But if this could pass away, I'd sure be all right with it. We would not, that's not how we deal with God. The end of the matter is this, your will be done. Your will be done. But that's not how we often deal with God when it comes to his will. Having the mind of Christ is so vitally important to our walk with God. And when you look at Jesus, who is God in the flesh, he's no way inferior to the Godhead. He makes himself of no reputation. What does that word reputation in the Greek mean? It means to make void or to empty. I mean, he divests himself of everything he could, and he submits himself. Think about that. Do we have that mind? Is that our mindset? See, because if you're going to obey God, you're going to have that mindset. Jesus empties himself, and he steps into fallen humanity. And look, he doesn't step in, even though he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What does he step into humanity as? A bond servant, right? A bond servant. Look at that word in the Greek. It's doulos, a servant, a person bound and serving, a slave. That just blows my mind. I'm sorry. It just blows my mind when I think about the Lord Jesus, and he steps into humanity, and he steps as a bondservant. I mean, is that the mind that we have? You know, sometimes there's preachers, and we're the worst of them, to be honest with you, especially in the church world. We step into a place, we think everyone should know who we are, and everyone should do this or that for me. Have you ever seen pastors like that before? Man, I try my best not to be like that. You know, you give a man of God some success or whatever, sometimes it goes straight to his head. And there's no more humility left in that. That's a dangerous place to be, amen? Are we willing to make ourselves of no reputation, divesting ourselves from us? Think about disenfranchising ourselves from us, from our emotions, from our feelings, and embracing God's will. Are you willing to empty yourself and serve the creative purposes of our Creator, even when it conflicts with your desires? Are you willing to empty yourself of you and serve the creative purposes of God, even when it's in conflict with your desires? Philippians 2:8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. When I think about even the crucifixion itself, what a horrible way to die. What a shameful and embarrassing and painful way to die. And he steps into that role and he embraces the cross. The cross demands obedience. What do you know about a person who is nailed to a cross? They're dying. They're not coming back. They are committed to death. But Jesus embraces that. Why? Why? For our salvation. Not for his will, but for our goodness. Are you hearing me this morning? The mind of Christ is the key to obedience, and humility is the other key to that obedience. Humility is a requirement for any born-again child of God. Because listen, look what James says about pride. But in James 4:6, he gives grace, more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I need grace, don't you? I need more grace. And when you got enough, I'll take your extra, okay? But I know this, that if I humble myself, if I keep myself humble, that puts me in a good position for God's grace and his mercy. God cannot extend grace to a proud heart. A humble heart, though, will receive God's grace. A submissive heart. Are you following me? You know, in today's modern era of the preaching of the gospel, you know, grace especially, the perversion of grace preached in a humanistic culture is sad. It's sad. It's like you just stick your hand out and get all God that you want. And that's, we just go on. It's like a handout. It's almost, again, like it's not a right. Are you hearing me? We've made it what? An entitlement. Man, it's hard to take entitlements away from people, isn't it? Even if you're partaking of it, it's hard to do that. And so we have an entitlement mindset in our world. If you don't think so, listen. If you don't think so, go to McDonald's, go on a Playland and watch kids play. Watch parents interact with kids. Talk to parents about school. Talk to parents about, I better shut up. Are we exempt from obedience? As believers in Jesus, are we exempt from obedience? Are we exempt from obeying God? See, God exists. Do we think God exists to bring us happiness? Or do we believe that God exists and we're to bring him glory? See, because are we exempt from obedience? And because God's got a will, a plan, a creative purpose for us, and for us to step in it, and we're to obey his will. Let me ask you this. Is love a requirement for salvation? I'm asking a lot of questions this morning. Is love a requirement for salvation? Is love a requirement for salvation? And when I thought about that, I thought, you know what? Love is not a requirement for salvation per se. And here's why I say that. When I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't love God. Are you hearing me? I'm just being honest. I didn't know nothing about Jesus. How could I love him? I love what he did for me, and I understood that. I knew I needed it. I was convicted, but I didn't love him. But I can tell you this, I love him today. So is love a requirement for salvation? To receive salvation, no. But to walk in salvation in a living faith, you better believe it. You better love God. And listen, I love my wife, and I've said this before, but she loves me more. Jenny does better job at living selflessly than I do. I have more demands. I'm just being honest with you, that she's willing to give more than I'm willing to give at times. If you're going to obey God, that's what it comes down to. You're willing to give even when you don't want to give sometimes. You know, I love the Lord Jesus. I feel there's times I don't love him like I should, that I need to love him more. Not to love him more to earn my way to heaven, but that I feel obligated. I feel challenged. You know, but that's a good thing, by the way, I think, don't you? To feel challenged. For God to reveal his love and his grace, his mercy. And it would be wrong. Almost sadistic to say, well, thank you, I deserve that. For God to shower his love and his mercy on me, and for us to reply, yeah, I deserve that, or that's no big deal. It is a big deal, isn't it? It is a big deal. How can a person love God if they aren't willing to know God? And that's key. And many folks love what God has done without truly loving God in their own lives. There's a big difference, amen? Why is love, what does love have to do with obedience? Jesus said this, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. You know, there is a key correlation between love and obedience. Again, there are times where, I know there are times there's decisions that I've made that my wife has been in opposition to, but she loves me. And there was a submission there. And I didn't demand it. And when I looked at that, and there's been times where it's just convicting to me. I'm like, man, I don't know if I could have done that. I don't know if I could have done that. And so, you know what, honestly, and I'll just be honest with you, that means something to me that reflects in her relationship with God as well. Because when you are submissive to man, you are most likely, the odds are, you are so submissive to the Spirit of God.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray it was a blessing to you. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a church home, I want to invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.